Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. He is worthy. He paid the price. Jesus looked. You know, God stood in heaven and he looked for a man. And there wasn't any man that could intercede or pay the price for mankind. And he had to send his only son because every other man had been tainted with sin and there was none. We were a fallen race with no hope without God in this world but Jesus. Amen. He alone is worthy. All through the Old Testament, we see Jesus slain before the foundation of the world. We see the sacrifices which speak of the coming Lamb of God. They use the spotless lamb. Remember when they would put the blood upon the doorpost, one on the top, on each side, and it would drip down from the top, and the cross is seen that the Lamb of God is coming. And they had faith in the Lamb of God that would come. And the prophets prophesied of old, he'll be born in the town of Bethlehem. He'll be born of a virgin. All of these things came to pass, and into the world came the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said. This is the Lamb of God, and he's come to take away the sin of the whole world. Everyone's sin has been covered. There is a place that God has made with man. He said, if you will, call upon me, I'll save you. If you will, and if you've called upon upon the name of Jesus, the Bible says, you are born again. You have a new life on the inside of you. He said, I desire to dwell within man, the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah forever. We shall praise him all the days of our life here in this earth and in the life to come from now for all eternity. He alone shall be worthy. He alone shall receive the glory and the honor and the praise. He alone is the miracle worker. He alone is the healer. He alone is the one that restores mankind unto God the Father through Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy is you. He's worthy that way too. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. I worship you. I magnify you. I give you praise and honor and glory. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves who is worthy. Who is the one that is worthy? The Lamb that sits on the throne forever. The one that shed that blood at the cross. The one that said to the thief that was next to him, yes, I'll forgive you today. You'll be with me in paradise. Unfortunately, the other thief didn't see his need for a Savior. And we know that that is our job here on the earth. We are left here for a purpose and a reason. To bring glory and honor to the Lamb of God, to be that witness, to be that testimony, that ambassador for the King. Are you willing to lay your life down completely that he can be all, that others may see that Jesus alone is Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. That's our job. That's our privilege. That's our honor to give ourselves to the one that gave himself for us. Amen. That he might be all, that he might receive all glory and all honor and all praise. Oh, Jesus, we love you today. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your great salvation. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise you and honor you because you're worthy. Because you're worthy, Lord. Lord, if there was nothing else you did but saved us, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy, but you have chosen to give us an inheritance in your kingdom. You have chosen us to adopt us as your very own. You've chosen to give us your righteousness by your grace, Lord, and save us and say, you're my own. I bring you in as my own sons and daughters. Oh, you're part of my family. Father, thank you. Thank you for making your home in us. Thank you for making us a part, Lord, and to allow us the honor and the glory and the privilege to walk with you, Lord. Hallelujah. May we be holy representatives, Father, of your kingdom. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hallelujah. I'm just thankful this morning. I'm glad you entered in with me, man. Aren't you thankful? Glory to God. Where would we be without the Lamb of God? Lost forever in a fallen state with no hope. But God sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, glory. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Well, there's only a couple of ways to give in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8 says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen. We should be led by the Spirit of God in every way we can. Hallelujah. Verse 14, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. And we cry out, Abba, Father. How many know down in your heart you already have a conscience and God speaks to you? You know, just like he speaks to people that when you get hungry. Anybody here got hungry, you know, and your body began to talk to you? Did you hear words? Go eat this or that. Did you hear those very words? No, you had that sense on the inside, didn't you? It was more of a sense and you knew you were hungry. So, well, how do you know you're hungry? I'm not sure, but my body's telling me I'm hungry. Though you didn't hear the words, you are hungry. Your body didn't say you are hungry, but you knew you were. And sometimes down on the inside, we know. Amen. We have a spirit that is alive to God. And the Bible says in 1 John, you have an anointing, or you have from the Holy One. And you what? Know all things. Well, how do you know them? Down on the inside, in the spirit man on the inside. Is how we what? Contact God. And through our spirit, we have those things. Sometimes we call it a hunch. Anybody have one of those hunches? You know, I just have a hunch. I should not take this street today. I should take this other street. You say, well, I don't understand why I should go around that way. That's the long way around, but that's what I sense on the inside. See, God may be trying to preserve you, and we need to be sensitive in all areas of our life, or you may be led of God or sense, hey, I'm supposed to go by the Walmart on my way home. You know, I was going to the bank. I've said this before, but I was going to the bank one time, and I was going to go to this particular bank because I wanted to get back into my worship and prayer, and there was two banks in that area. One was just around it's down the street and around the corner from the Walmart. And usually it's not as busy. And I thought, well, I'll get in there and get things taken care of. But in my heart and in my spirit, like Jesus said, I just felt I needs to go to the one at Walmart. I said, Lord, you're setting me up. How many know God set you up? Amen. He'll give you divine appointments. Sometimes you know, sometimes you know, you don't know till you get there, but this one, I kind of had that sense, and I've sensed to go there, and sure enough, the Lord led me to someone, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like that, 5 minutes. Just talk with them a little bit. A young man, about 21 years old, and he had all kinds of issues and problems in his life that he needed to solve. And he said, yeah, I've been born again, but I really need that. I need that power from God. And he wasn't listening to the right music. He was out in the parking lot. It was very loud. Be the last person that I personally would have thought I should talk to. But that's where God led me. That's the person God led me to. And he, just in a few minutes, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I left him praying in tongues, allowing God to begin to do a new work in his heart and deal with him to answer many of his problems. How many know? I don't know all the answers. Anybody here, you have all the answers for everybody? Anybody? But how many know the Holy Spirit has all the answers? He will guide you, and he can help someone and guide them into what? All truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got an unction from the Holy One. We can know these things, and we can know how God wants us to give. Amen. Not grudgingly, the Bible says, or of necessity, because why? God loves a cheerful giver. But we can purpose in our hearts, saying, Lord, I'm talking to you. We're talking together. Lord, what do you have? Do you have a certain amount that you want me to give? He knows how much money you have, not what you don't have. Amen. Don't look to your credit card. We don't want you to give on your credit card here. We don't believe that you need to. Amen. God's already blessed us, right? He's already taken care of us. So we can purpose in our heart, we give, not grudgingly, not of a necessity, but a cheerful heart. And we talk it over with the Lord, as we've been talking about these last few weeks, how it's based upon what? Relationship with him. And we give out of a love for God and a love for a fellow man, and to bring the kingdom. Amen. God wants to bring his kingdom in the earth. Hallelujah. How many knows that means souls? That means people's lives changed. That means people touched, maturing in God, that they can be sent forth as well. Amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you for your gifts. If you want to give here, we have envelopes back here. You can give cash or check or if you want to give with your bank card. Most of you already know you can do so online, but it's Family Prayer Center, CENTRE.com. And if you'll go to the donate button, it will give you all the instructions that you need. And thank you so much for those of you that are using that. We're thankful for that, and thankful for all that give any amount here to the church. We thank you. If it's, you know, and if you can't give, we still love you. We want to help you. We'll pray for you. We're believing God, not just in our prayer times, but in my own personal time. When I pray for this church, I pray for your blessing, that God would continue to prosper you, not to give more money here, but to bless you. You're a son of God, aren't you? You're a child of the King. You're a joint heir with Jesus. God wants you to have enough, more than enough, to walk in life and to enjoy some things. Amen. Hallelujah. And to walk with him and to follow his purposes and plans. And I know most of you are, all of you are really seeking after him, or you wouldn't be here today. Amen. You know, you don't come to church because you didn't want to fellowship with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I'd like us to open to Mark chapter 8 today. I'm going to move on to different message this morning. I think we've talked a little bit about finances and we're set for right now. We'll probably visit that again someday if the Lord leads me. But this morning, I know that all this week, the Lord's been talking to me about the Word of God, and that we need not, how many know sometimes some of our enemy is that we reason against the truth. Has anybody ever reasoned against the truth? You know, we should come to God and we should reason with him. But how many know we have to do it according to his rule? Amen. Which is his truth, which is the Word of God. And so today, I want us to become and recognize that we can be a follower of the truth. And we don't have to reason against the truth. Amen. Let's look at Mark chapter 8. I'm going to start at the very first verse here. Mark 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them, or some of them, came from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Okay, hallelujah. And verse 10 says, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmatia. Hallelujah. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit this morning, that, Lord, you would anoint the words that are spoken, that your perfect mind might come forth this morning, your truth, that you bring grace, deposit, Father, and truth impartation to each one of us this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, here we see that the disciples were with Jesus, and Jesus said, I've got to feed these people. I really do. And we're going to move on a little bit further here in this passage, but he's feeding his disciples and he says to them, how many loaves do you have? And they just have a few and a few fish. So here they are. They've got 7 loaves. And he says, hey, you tell the people to sit down and we're going to feed them. Now, Jesus' feeding program is not like ours, is it? Amen. How many know that we can all, even the sinners, can do a feeding program? They can gather food and give it out to the poor. What's so supernatural about that? They're using human love and human compassion. But how many know when we gain God's compassion, when Jesus steps on the scene, things can change? And here Jesus had compassion. Verse 2, he says, I have compassion on the multitude. They've been with me 3 days and they've got to be hungry. Of course, the disciples always answered, where are we going to get the food to satisfy all these people, Jesus? Hallelujah. And he is not usually exactly impressed with their lack of faith, is he? So he says, well, what do we have? And they said, 7. We've got 7 loaves. So he says, you tell the people to sit down. He takes the loaves. He gives thanks. He breaks it and he gives to his disciples and he put it before them. As the people sit down, the disciples, could you imagine that being the disciple? You just keep handing out bread. I don't know if they sensed it multiply or not, but they kept handing it out. And it just never ended. It just doesn't end. Why? Because He is the bread of life. He is enough for everybody. He is more than enough for every person. See, we could say, well, we could do a certain amount, and I don't care how many people we have, we can only get so much food. But how many know Jesus can multiply food and feed the city? Amen. Amen. If we can believe Him and if we can exercise our faith, amen, and continue to move in that direction. All right, let's read a little bit further here. Let's go ahead and read. I'm going to start again here. Verse 11 is where we are. So He entered the ship, so He feeds the 5,000. And they ate, they're filled. He took up some baskets left over. There's 7 baskets left over. So He feeds the 4,000. In this case, it's not the 5,000, but 4,000 people. How many think that'd take quite a bit of food? Amen. We'd have to probably have a few semi-truckloads come in and, maybe 2 or 3, and all of us would be hot and sweaty and everything else. But how many know when Jesus multiplies the food, wouldn't that be awesome? We just start giving it out. Who else needs some food? Amen. All right. And the Pharisees came forth. They began to question with Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven, tempting Him. And He sighed deeply in His spirit and saith, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And He left them and entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. They're here tempting Him, the Bible says. They're trying to get Him to do something. They're testing Jesus. And He said, I don't need to give you a miracle to prove who I am. I'm the Son of the living God. He said, there's already been a lot said about me and written about me. And He just had this miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. And they're coming. They're saying, oh, show us some kind of sign from heaven. Well, what more of a sign do you need from heaven than the 4,000 people being fed? I'm just asking. I mean, what greater sign do you need? Now, so the disciples, verse 14, He's going over to the other side. He gets into the ship and they depart. And verse 14 says, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And He charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Hallelujah. In other words, He's saying, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. Now, who knows what He's talking about? He wasn't really talking about physical bread here. But verse 16 said, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Verse 17, and when Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes to see, having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto Him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And He said unto them, how is it that you do not understand. Now here we see in the 16th verse, Jesus begins to ask the disciples, because they were reasoning, what, with their natural mind. How many know your natural mind is meant to reason? Amen. But they were reasoning against the truth of what God said. He said, how is it? Why do you reason? Verse 16 and 17 also. Why are you reasoning? Because you have no bread. They were looking at the natural. They thought, well, oh, here Jesus is talking about the leaven and the yeast and the bad doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's saying, watch out for what they feed you. Watch out for their teaching, wasn't he? But yet the disciples hadn't quite caught it. And he's saying, why did you not understand? How is it that you don't understand? And it is up to us to believe God regardless of what we see. That is the faith of God, is it not? Not with our, what, human reasoning. So we've got to make the choice to believe what God has said. Believe His Word. And we've talked about this some the other Wednesday night. We're talking about how our words can affect our life. And that it is when we agree with God and we speak His Word. How many know it helps? We're not speaking it for God's sake. We're speaking it to get it into our heart and to allow faith to come and to continue to understand, hey, this is what God has said. His word is what? Truth. John 17, 17. Let's turn there for a minute. But they were reasoning with human reason. Anybody ever done that? You reasoned yourself right out of the will of God. Sometimes God will speak a scripture to you or give you something and you said, wow, I don't know, Lord. I mean, and we begin to think about it in the natural and we say, how can that be? Because it looks impossible to our natural mind. And here the disciples were reasoning again in their natural mind. And many times God is looking to show us that truth and we reason out of it, don't we? But he said here in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How many know right here? We do have truth from Jesus, but right here, this Bible is the truth of God's word. Amen. How many believe that in this Bible there is enough to get you safely from here to the hereafter? Amen. And it is a more sure word, a prophecy, Peter said. This Bible. God is not going to begin to communicate you with you outside the principles and the truth of the Word of God. How many believe that? How many know that God and His Word remain one? He and His Word are the same. He said, I sent my Word and healed them. Now, Jesus is the living Word. We know He sent Him. He paid that price on Calvary for every man to be healed, right? Surely He hath borne our sicknesses, carried our pains. By His stripes we were healed. You know, it's a Psalm in Psalm 107:20, He sent my word. Healed them, delivered them from their destruction. But the word of God, He says, thy word is truth. See, our example is not really Pastor Doug. I should be a good example, and I try to be all I can be. But how many know our real example is Jesus? Because I'm not near high enough. I'm working toward that. I'd like to walk just like Jesus. But every time I read that scripture over there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he says, you know, if we love Him, you'll walk just like He walked. Amen. I believe it's 2:6. Yeah, he that says he abides in Him. You say you abide in God, in Him. He that saith he abides in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. How many know that Jesus, we can walk even as he walked? We can walk like him. We've received a spirit that is alive unto God, and it is possible to walk like him. However, all of us are in a process. How many know you have a flesh body? Who's got a spirit body in here? We got one to our account, don't we? We're going to get one, but we don't have it yet. How many know the Bible says the flesh warreth, what, against the spirit? And here we're talking about the reasoning of the mind, where the disciples begin to reason against the truth of Jesus. They were saying, now, Lord, you know, why is it? He says, how can you be reasoned? Do you not yet understand? You haven't gotten it yet, have you? But he's working with them. He hasn't given up on them. Now we got to remember, the disciples weren't yet born again, but yet he expected them to understand. He was expecting them to have some truth. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we know we're all being transformed into the very image of Christ. You say, well, I've been doing this a long time. Yeah, amen, so have I. But we're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. We're not going to lower the bar. Jesus is our example. Jesus is the place that we're going to. And we can, attain much, and if not all, of what he did. He said, the same works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto what? The Father. What is the greater works? Partly, it is to do, first of all, I think it'd be great if we saw the same works. How about you? Amen? Hallelujah. The same works that Jesus did. And then greater works. What's the greater work? A greater work would be that people would be born again, that their heart would be changed, amen, from within. How many know Jesus didn't get, he got everybody born again through his life, but he hadn't yet died on the cross. He hadn't yet paid the price for all sin. He didn't make it, it wasn't yet available to the disciples to be born again, but he said, you will. There's some things I can't tell you now because you won't understand them, but here in this particular passage in Mark, he said, how come you don't understand? You should understand. Why are you reasoning within ourselves? And how many know there is a destruction of reasonings that the enemy can bring to your mind to cause you to what? Doubt the truth of what God has said. You said, oh boy, that sounds like somewhere else I've read in the Bible too. How about you? Anybody read that over there in Genesis 1? Where Eve and Adam both got deceived by the enemy. Amen. And they what? Reasoned in themselves. They began to think about it. Will I truly die? Yes, you will. God had said, you will surely die. And when they sinned, they did die. First in their spirit and then in their body. But 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're getting there. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror. Okay, we all with unveiled face, open face or unveiled. How many know when Jesus died, the veil was rent in two, right? And now we can go straight into the Holy of Holies. Glory to God forever. We become the temple. He lives in us. We go straight to the Father. Hallelujah. Woo! How many are glad for that? We don't have to have sacrifice. We don't have to go through the priest. We are going through the priest, the high priest, Jesus himself. Amen. He became that priest, whoever liveth, but made it available. He became the sacrifice once for all. Oh, glory. But with open face or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of God are changed into what? The same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The same image. Well, what image are we looking at? We're looking into partly the Word of God. We look into the image of Jesus. And as we look into the and into the Word of God, the image that God has placed before us. And we are transformed, the Bible says. here he says, you know, we are changed, or same as that word transformed. It's the exact same word. It's a transformation that takes place on the inside of you and I. We are being transformed from glory, one degree of glory, to another degree of glory in Him. Why? Because we continually grow. We continually move forward as we fellowship with our Father and we understand the truth and we allow the truth of God's Word to be our guide and we stand fast upon that truth, amen, of what He has said. Not what my mind can reason, not by my personal experience, but what God has said. I have to stand upon that. It is still His will and purpose that all men be saved. Have all men been saved yet? No. But God would like everybody to be saved. Now, I can't promise you everybody in the world is going to be saved. Some have chosen not, but whoever will. How many know it's possible? Everybody in the world can be saved if they'll call upon Jesus. How many believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't know, bro. You know, it's true. If they'll call upon Him, if they'll believe Him, He said, whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. We have to choose. And when we choose to meditate and to place ourselves in the Word of God and see Him in the mirror, in the Word of God, in the truth that He has given to us, then we are changed. We are transformed from one degree of glory into another degree of glory, even as by what? The Spirit of the Lord. In other words, the Holy Spirit begins to train, to bring truth, to guide us. He's very good at what He does, to guide us into all truth. Amen. As we spend time praying in other tongues, that's part of the revelation gift that God has given. He reveals who? Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to reveal to us. He says, what I see of Him, I bring to you. And He honors Jesus. And everything we are in Christ, everything that He is to us, in us, for us, begins to come forward in our life. And we begin to walk more like Jesus in this earth. How many know within your human spirit, there is that love, there is joy, there is peace, there is patience, there is kindness, there is goodness, there is faithfulness, there is that temperance, that gentleness on the inside of you. We have the ability to walk like Jesus because we have received a nature that's just like His. And our nature is being transformed, being growing up. We are more maturing in that. How many know that you, if you see a child here, if I bring up a 10-year-old, he doesn't have the same maturity as you to understand some things. How many understand that? But how many know he still has the ability to grow and to learn those things? Amen. And we want them to. Because if he stays at 10 years old and he doesn't learn anything else, you want him to grow up to be a man, right? You don't want him to be 30 living at home saying, Mommy, can I have some cereal? You know, can I please play on my Nintendo, right? You know, you don't want him sitting home playing games at 30, right? You want him to grow up, become an adult, and take the responsibility. Now, there's certain responsibilities he may have. Now he's 10 years old. I begin to train him to what? Mow the grass. Now, son, it's time for you to learn how to mow the grass. And how many know at first it's all exciting, right? Any guys here learned how to mow the grass? Any men here? You know, the first time it was kind of exciting. Oh, I get to use the mower. But how many know after that first time it might not be so exciting? Because you learn, oh, I have to do it every week. I have to do it all the time. And if I don't do it, Dad's going to come after me. Amen. Son, you've been putting off mowing that grass. You know, amen. And how many know there'll be some consequences if we don't do our chores, whatever that may be. Maybe it was feeding the animals. Maybe it was something else. But there are things that we become responsible for. And there's a maturing process that the Holy Spirit brings us through. And we begin to grow and we begin to take responsibility for what God, for working with the Father, what? In the family business, in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. All right, let's go to 3 John chapter 1 for a minute. Hallelujah. So there is a changing, a transforming that takes place with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. And I'm just going to say this, you know, you help him a lot if you read the Bible and begin to equip our minds, amen? Because the more we meditate on it, if God and his Word are one, how are you going to know when God begins to direct you if that's true or not? You might write it down and you can look it up, hopefully, in the Bible. Father, is this biblical? I remember when Brother Hagin talked about when Jesus came and saw him, began to talk to him about the authority of the believer. And he began to question the Lord. Because he says, now, because he was talking to Jesus, and he said, this smoke screen came up, and this little imp, this devilish imp was there and making all kinds of racket, and he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. And finally, he said, he got all flustered. He said, in Jesus' name, go. And that spirit left, and Jesus began to teach him about authority. Now, if you hadn't done something about that, there's nothing I could have done. I could not. Now, Lord, you didn't say you couldn't. He asked Jesus. He said, you didn't say you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, did you, Lord? He said, no, son. I said I couldn't because I gave that authority to you. How many know Jesus is not on the earth? He's in heaven. And he said, I've given my authority to man. We've talked about that before. God never took his authority away from man. He gave it to him to rule on the earth. And he said, no, I couldn't. And he says, no, I don't care if you're standing right there, Jesus. I need some scriptures to show me. And you think, well, didn't Jesus get mad at him? No. He said, he smiled so sweetly. He said, I'll give you one better. I'll give you four. You know, and showed him in the Word of God. He gave him four references to that truth. How many know by the mouth of what, two or three, let everything be established? Amen. By the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so he showed him, and that truth came alive. But here we are in 3 John 1. 3 John 1, 1, it says, the elder unto the well-beloved guest, whom I love in the truth. Whom I love in the truth. Amen. And it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, didn't he say, we already read John 17, 17, right? What did he say? Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word, Lord, is truth. And I know you know this, but I'm reminding us this morning the importance of his what? Truth. Because without this truth, the Word of God, what do we have to live our life by? It is God's Word that we govern our life. Amen. We direct our life. We give our lives over to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just checking my time here. I couldn't see the clock. There's a light shining on it. So I'm just checking my time for a second. Hallelujah. Praise God. But this is the truth, the Word of God. So we keep ourselves, what? Under that truth. This was the delight of God. and the delight of the Apostle Paul. And he said, hey, I'm so glad that you're walking in the truth, that the truth is in you. How many are glad you have truth in you? How many are glad that the Word of God is truth for you? It is something that is settled forever in heaven and will not change, because the Word of God is our foundation and must remain so. It must remain so. I don't care what kind of vision somebody had, some dream you have, whatever it is. We want to test it with the truth of the Word of God. How many can agree with that? No matter what is said, somebody prophesy or prophesy over you, whatever it may be, how are you going to discern the difference? He says, the Word of God will give you the answer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm winding up or winding down, but praise the Lord. I love the truth. How many are a lover of the truth of God's Word? If you know God, then you'll love His Word. You'll want to know it. His Word reveals who He is. The Bible, you know, one particular, I've heard that it said, and maybe you've heard that too, but see, in the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. In the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. It was concealed, but how many know when you read the New Testament? I've given New Testaments to people. They said, well, where's the rest of it? How did they know? Because they saw it in the New Testament. They said, oh, there's got to be something else here. How many know? Jesus refers to Moses. Jesus refers to, and the Bible refers to other people. But we're here in Romans 4:12. It says, 4:12. You're at 4:12. I'm at 4 something else here. But 4:12, here we go. For the Word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many know you could have reasonings? How many know that thoughts are reasonings? Amen. You think about it. You discern. And here he said, the Word of God will help us to discern what is the truth. What is the intent of the heart? Is my motive proper? Is my motive right? Am I on the right track, Father? Would you mind helping me, Lord, to find, you know, where is this in the Word of God, Father? You've got to help me. If he shares something with you, say, Lord, I need some confirmation of the Word of God on that. And it that principle will be here. That truth will be within the Word of God. And there is no doubt about it. God is going to lead us, what, according to His Word. And He said to the disciples, why are you reasoning amongst yourselves? Why do you reason? You know, they're reasoning against what Jesus had said and what the truth was. And it is up to us. We have to keep our flesh under, don't we? We have to keep our body under control. You walk in truth when we no longer reason against it. We don't use our human reasoning, but we allow the Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us, to guide us, what, into all truth. Let's go to 2 Timothy for a minute. I'm going to read probably a different verse than you're thinking of, but 2 Timothy, we'll get to that too, but 2 Timothy verse 2, I'm going to start in 19 here for a minute. 2 Timothy 2, I mean, sorry about that. Yeah. verse 19. All right. Well, let's go up to 15. We'll start in 15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this: study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. There we are. The word of truth. God's word is truth to us. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, and of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. I wouldn't want to be named there. But praise the Lord. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just means being set apart for God's use. That's what we are. We're sanctified or set apart for his use. Amen. And so he says that the latter part, that will be honorable for him. And how many know in the house of God, there are some things, some vessels that are for honor and some for dishonor. That means there are some people that, you know, some things that are dishonorable. Like we say, if you go to your house or my house, I've got some nice china for you when you come and visit. Praise the Lord. We'll have a glass of water or you use the fine china because we're having what? Guests. Somebody got some nice china you save for special guests. Maybe not everybody, but you know, you don't get out, you know, you don't take out your Tupperware bowls, do you? You know, and set them out and, oh, well, this is what we're going to eat out. We might if it's something casual, but normally we bring out the best, don't we, for our guests and for those that come for special occasion. But then there's also vessels of dishonor. Well, what would be a vessel of dishonor? Like your toilet bowl. That would be a vessel of dishonor. Amen. And so there are things that we have, and God is saying that we want to be vessels of gold and silver, not, you know, and then some of wood and some of earth and some for honor, some for dishonor. But a man, therefore, let him what? Purge himself of these latter things, of things that are of wood and things that are of this earth. And we don't have the reasoning of the human mind. We put that aside and we allow the Holy Spirit to come and help us and ask him, lead us, guide us into all truth. And we spend some time with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, with fellowship with him, that he can lead us, guide us, and keep us with the truth that he has given us. Because we all know that the enemy fights us, doesn't he? Well, we're not to give up. We're to stand firm. And what are we standing firm upon? The truth of his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to stop right there for right now. For today, we may finish some more later, but the truth of God's word, that is our greatest foundation. And how many are thankful for that? It's not going to change. It's settled forever in heaven. It is the truth. It is absolutely necessary that we walk by it, that we allow it to answer every question that comes to us, what, in this life. Amen. How many know the Word of God has an answer? Has an answer for you. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. God will bring the answer. We'll find it. That principle, it may not be one scripture, but it may be several scriptures that bring forth a truth for us to walk in. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just start a registro. Let's pray just for a minute. Just rest for a moment in the presence of the Lord here. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for those that are watching and those that are here, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for the truth of your holy word. We thank you, Father, that your word is settled in heaven for us. It will not change. We have an unchanging word from the King of Glory, from a God that will be the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. You will never change. And we're thankful, Father, in a world that's changing, we have that foundation, Father, and we're grateful. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just those of you that pray, pray quietly in the spirit for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Now, I know that everybody here has a Bible. Hallelujah. How many here? Everybody here I know has a Bible, maybe two or three Bibles. And the Lord, I just want to challenge everybody, challenge all of us, to think about getting a hold of the Word of God and getting it into your heart more this year than you ever have before, because the world is changing. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be perilous times. There's going to be false prophets that come about into the world, into the body of Christ even. And they will speak forth what? Expressing their lies and doctrines of demons. And how are you going to know the truth? From His holy word. Yes, the Holy Spirit will help you. But if you equip your mind for day and night meditation, He's going to help you even more. So I want to challenge you to more and more. Read over the, especially in the New Testament. You know, I mean, we need the Old Testament. We really do. But especially if you haven't read much, begin reading over and over. Now, all of us, you know, do you understand? You could read the New Testament every month. Amen. How many knows that? If you read 10, 12, depending on your Bible, you can look at the pages, how many numbers and pages you have on the New Testament. You may have to get your calculator out, because mine, I think Matthew starts with page 1403 in my Bible. But, you know, you can figure it out. How many pages are there? And usually it's 10 or 12 or 13 pages that you read every day, and you can read the whole New Testament every month. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord's saying that. I want to challenge you to read the New Testament in the next 30 days. What is today? The 12th. Amen. Today's the 12th. How many know by April 12th, you can read the New Testament through? You read the whole New Testament. You see, the whole thing? Yeah. There's only 27 books. There's only like a little over 1,000 some verses. I can't remember exactly. I have to look it up again, so. But there is, you know, just pages. That's 10 or 12 pages a day. And how many know you could do that? Usually about 30 minutes, maybe 45. Depends on if you're a slow reader like me. It might take you 35 minutes or 40 minutes or 45 minutes. You know, you can even cheat if you want to. You can listen to it on your phone or whatever and read along with it, you know, while it's playing. I'm giving you some hints to help you, you know. So, and some of you, maybe you're so busy, but you drive a little bit. I'm going to give you permission. You can listen to it while you're driving. Amen. Hallelujah. But how many think they could do that? You can read the New Testament. Let's challenge one another. You know, the Bible says to spur one another on, what? To good works. Amen. And I want to challenge you this month to read through the New Testament. Now, some of you, I know you read one book at a time. That's fine. I mean, you know, if you have something that you're already doing, I'm not trying to get you out of that. But I'm trying to encourage all of us, every single one of us, to get more and more into the Word of God and get that Word of God on the inside of us. How many can agree that's necessary? It's needed. So, well, I read it once before. Well, read it again. It won't hurt you. How many know that the Word of God is fresh and new and gets more alive every day? The more you read it, the more you're going to want to read it. It speaks of Jesus. It speaks of God's purpose. It speaks of God's plan. His general will for our life. And how many know, if you don't know what God's will is already, that He already told us and we're not doing that, then why would He have to give you more specific will? Amen. Come on now. That's good preaching, Pastor Doug. But anyway, I believe God's challenging us to get a hold of the Word of God and begin to put it into our heart. Now, if He gives you a book to read, that's fine. Find it. Read it over and over. Read those things. But let's get into the Word of God. Let's put His Word, what? First place in our life. Amen. And say, hey, it's going to be the Word of God that answers my questions that I have for this life. Amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I want to pray that God will give us grace to help you. If you're struggling to read the Word of God or to study the Word of God, I'm going to pray that God will give us grace to do that, to enter into the Word of God as never before. Father, we're asking you, I'm asking you, Father, for all of those that are watching online and those that are here, that you, Lord, would give us a grace, a hunger, a drawing to the Word of God as never before. Father, that we'll be strong and we'll be stable. And Father, that the Word of God will be what we use to answer every question that confronts us. I thank you for that grace right now. That's right. Just receive that grace and that hunger, Father, to touch our hearts, to draw us in more and more to the truth of your Word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.